What's up, Wisconsin? It's Debate Thursday. Are you watching? Why are you watching? Is it for the train wreck of the whole thing? I want to hear from you. Starting at 3:30, we're going to dig in here on the Civic Media Radio Network. But this half hour, we're joined by my good friend and yours, Wisconsin treasure, Rob Hankin, the president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Welcome back, Rob.
Thanks for having me again, Maggie.
You let me know that the forum has a report coming out about Medicaid. What are you guys looking into? When can we expect it? Why did you do the report?
Three great questions. So Medicaid expansion, this question of whether the Medicaid program in the state should be expanded to cover folks who make up to 138% of the federal poverty level has been debated essentially since the Affordable Care Act was passed. When was that? Early in the Obama administration, 2009 or 10-ish. And essentially, what happened with the Affordable Care Act was that the federal government said, look, we want to encourage and urge states to extend their Medicaid coverage to above the poverty line, above the 100% level. And so we are going to vastly increase the federal reimbursement for those folks who they cover to meet that standard. And so there has been a debate. Should we avail ourselves of this seemingly wonderful opportunity to cover more people, provide healthcare coverage to many, many thousands more vulnerable people, and get paid to do so at a very handsome rate? The alternative view is, while we would get paid to do so at a handsome rate, we're potentially not getting 100% fully reimbursed for doing so. Number two, an argument that has been raised has been, who knows how long this federal offer is going to last? And clearly there have been efforts to eliminate the Affordable Care Act over time. And once we give this benefit, are we ever going to take it away, or is it going to follow the state? There have been many other arguments. And we have been tempted to weigh in here because this is just the type of very highly politicized issue where people are dug in on both sides that is crying out for just some objective analysis and framing. We haven't up until now, mainly because we figured we could write the best white paper in the world on this topic, and are we really going to change anybody's mind? But increasingly, as we are now one of only 10 states in the nation that has not availed ourselves of this option, as the argument that the feds are going to pull out has diminished over time with each passing year, as the feds have not pulled out, as we have another state budget approaching, we decided that yes, an objective analysis would be helpful. And so where we're really focusing is how is Wisconsin unique among those 10 states that haven't yet done this, and what would be both the pros and cons of doing it?
It's really one of those topics that, at least in my estimation, and you all are nonpartisan, you're independent, you try to present both the pros and cons of an argument. But I always think when I'm debating policy with folks, if the argument is, well, maybe at some point in the future, something might change, so we shouldn't help people right now, today, I always find that to be a little specious, a little questionable as a line of argumentation and frankly, analysis. Currently, the federal poverty guidelines is that you're considered not poor for a family of four if your household income is over $31,200 a year.
I'm sorry. I'm going to be over
Thank
here.
You, Brian. And 125% of that, in other words, what Medicaid expansion is trying to help, this is the group of people that Medicaid expansion wants to therefore allow to qualify for Medicaid, would put a family of four's annual household income at $39,000 a year. That's ridiculous. And it strikes me as, and again, my words, not Rob's, a perverse act of cruelty to have a solution at the ready that wouldn't cost state taxpayers any more, that the federal government's willing to fund. Because again, maybe at some point, maybe in the future, somehow, somewhere, they might change the rules. Well, when they change the rules, there'll be a mechanism to change the rules, right? I mean, that's the way things work. Not to mention the fact that I just need to go through this, Rob, because you set the table so well here. Obamacare, or the ACA, was passed in the 111th Congress. Republicans tried to repeal Obamacare in the 112th Congress. The House took a vote. It failed. There was a challenge in the Supreme Court in 2012. That failed. In the 113th Congress, again, Republicans tried to repeal the Affordable Care Act. That failed again. In the 114th Congress, they tried again. In the 115th Congress, they tried again. And it goes on and on. Here, the number of total votes taken by Republicans to try to repeal the Affordable Care Act, it's like 50 plus total votes. Now, that's on different pieces and parts, but all those votes pushed by Republicans to try to bring it down. On Tuesday, February 2nd in 2016, with a tally of 241 to 186, it was the 63rd attempt by the House to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. So this idea that, oh, yes, eventually we will kill Obamacare, and so we shouldn't help people today actually access health insurance when they've tried so many times, again, sort of strains credulity. In my opinion, that's not Rob's opinion. That's mine. Rob, I'm sure that the policy forums analysis breaks this down into dollars and cents and coverages for folks here in Wisconsin. So if people are interested in how many additional people would be covered, what that might cost, if anything, to Wisconsin taxpayers in addition to what we're already paying, how many people aren't getting covered, all that kind of stuff, that will be in the report, I'm assuming.
Yes. And again, these analyses have been done by the Legislative Fiscal Bureau. Governor Evers has had in his previous budgets proposals to take advantage of the Medicaid expansion, and the fiscal analysis has been done. And, you know, we are talking about large dollar amounts of additional federal money that could come to Wisconsin to cover more people. But this is one of these really interesting ones where you can take data, and the two sides can both take the same data point and make a completely different argument. So many people may not be aware of it, but despite the fact that we have not fully expanded Medicaid, we have only a 5% uninsured rate in Wisconsin. And that's pretty impressive. We're in the top 10 of states in lowest uninsured rate. And so there's that. If we were to do this expansion, we would be talking about tens of thousands of people who would now be eligible for Medicaid coverage. But it would only expand the Medicaid rolls by 7.2%. Most of the states that have not done it yet are in the Deep South. They're only insuring people up to 30% of the poverty line. So if they were to do it, there'd be a huge surge of new applicants. You could take those two data points and on the one hand argue, well, boy, if we've come this far, why not go the rest of the way and draw down all this federal money? But the other side can argue, well, we're already doing pretty well. Why take that additional risk if our uninsured rate is already low? And furthermore, the anti side can argue, and these folks are getting coverage. Maybe I don't know if they'd argue this, so they don't like the Affordable Care Act, but they could argue that they're getting coverage under the Affordable Care Act. So why take the chance of putting them under the state Medicaid program? So you can take data points and make two different arguments.
To refresh everyone's recollection, these are the 9 states in addition to the state of Wisconsin that have not expanded Medicaid eligibility under the Affordable Care Act. And again, the ACA allows a state to increase Medicaid eligibility up to 138% of the federal poverty level. Here are the states. I ask you, are these states that Wisconsin, in general, likes to think itself in the same cohort with? Right? Just throwing that out there. Here they are. Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Kansas, Mississippi, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, and Wyoming. I don't know about you all listening out there. Again, my opinion, not Rob's, not the policy forums. I'm not really looking to Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Kansas, Mississippi, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, and Wyoming as like thought leaders on public policy, especially public policy for a nice purple state like Wisconsin.
Well, and furthermore, I would point out that so while we are at least currently under our pseudo expansion covering people up to 100%, the median for those nine other states is 31% for parents with children. None of these states are covering childless adults whatsoever. Under our sort of going halfway toward expansion, yep, but not getting reimbursed for it, we are also covering childless adults up to 100% of the poverty line. So again, we're take a look at how coverage is working in these nine other states.
Not well at all. This is one of those things that in my mind, I've always thought of healthcare. And in this country, you got to have insurance to get healthcare, unless you're Elon Musk rich, that healthcare is a human right. Just found this factoid because there's different numbers. Newsweek has concluded that there have been at least 70 Republican-led attempts to repeal, modify, or otherwise curb Obamacare since its inception as law on March 23rd, 2010. It's not going anywhere. That's not a good reason to not expand Medicaid. We'll be back with my special guest, friend of the show and your friend as well, a man who can only be described as a treasurer for Wisconsin, Mr. Rob Henken, president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
So, you know, Obamacare is still in place, and we've doubled the debt. I don't feel like my time here has been particularly successful.
Debate Thursday. I want to know if you're listening, why you're listening, what you're looking for. Are you playing a drinking game while watching the debate? I mean, every time you hear Trump talk about sharks, Hannibal Lecter, take a sip. I don't know.
I know Jane and Greg had come up with some bingo cards.
Oh, I started to write last night, I sat down and started to make a bingo card.
I got to share them with you. They're
okay.
Amazing.
Great.
One of them has Bing Bong Bing as part of the...
Bing Bong Bing.
Yep. He said that several times. Bing Bong Bing.
How many times does the accordion?
Oh, that's...
Infinite.
That's infinite. It's the accordion time.
You want to talk about debate? We'll be doing that at the bottom of the hour. But right now, my very special guest this half hour is Rob Henken, current president for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, but not for long, Rob. You're hanging up the cleats.
Well, I'm sort of hanging up.
Sort of, yes. Sort of hanging them up for WPF.
Yeah, so I'm going to stay with WPF on a half-time basis to do the parts of the job that I frankly most enjoy, which is research and analysis and project management for our big Milwaukee area research projects. I'll continue to do government finance work, head up our review of the county budget and the city budget. I'll still be very heavily engaged in managing and doing our service sharing work. But I'll be turning over the keys, the administrative day-to-day responsibilities, the fund development, the human resources management, all those other parts of the job, which I, you know, was doing for 16 years. I enjoyed it, but it's time to move on from that. So Jason Stein, our very able vice president and research director, will take the role of president. And so that's happening July 16th. But again, I on the research issues that I think Milwaukee area policymakers care most about, I will still be intimately involved.
Well, congratulations, Rob, as you move on to this next phase. Congratulations also to Jason Stein. I think every person that's ever managed or helped run an organization right now is like, oh my gosh, could I figure out how to ramp down or hand off my HR administrative and funding responsibilities? Because that stuff's not fun. And I say that with lots of love and respect to all of my human resources management professionals out there. It's a tough, tough gig. Congratulations, Rob. 16 years. You started your career in radio, which I think is really cool. You worked at Milwaukee County. You've done so many different things. What's been your favorite job over your career?
I think tied for sort of most fulfilling, but also most stressful, was the 3.5 years I spent as the Milwaukee County Health and Human Services Director. Mm. A daunting task. Yes. And in those days, Milwaukee County DHHS did even more than it does today. It had eligibility determination for food share and Medicaid and childcare under its domain, which it no longer does, as for an example. You know, you're out there in the trenches trying to help vulnerable people. You have people taking shots at you from all sides, some very legitimate advocates. Yep. You know, should be advocating. And, you know, government can't always do everything that the advocacy community wants it to do. So I think, again, most stressful, most fulfilling. I also worked on Capitol Hill for 7 years. And, you know, that was, again, stressful but fulfilling. I was chief of staff at one point to a New Jersey congressman. That was, I worked very, very long hours. Yes. I was, you know, working 12-hour days. It was a different time, Maggie.
Yes.
This was, I worked on the Hill from 1987 to 1994. Mm. It was a day when Democrats and Republicans fought like cats and dogs during the day, but went out to dinner or drinks with one another at night. And I was there when that started to go away. When people thought I was a genius because I moved to Milwaukee in August of 1994, 3 months before the Newt Gingrich revolution.
I was just going to say, it's Newt. Yep.
Yep. So I was a staff director for a House subcommittee at the time, and I would have lost my job because when the Republicans took over the House, I had no idea that was coming, frankly. But I witnessed the start of the change, which I think so many people agree is just unfortunate. Again, there can be passion, there can be disagreement, but it shouldn't be about owning the other side, and it should be about respectful diplomacy, and it shouldn't be about always questioning the other guys or woman's motives.
Right.
And so, I feel old because it's ancient history now, but that's the way it used to be.
Well, you and I missed each other then by a couple dozen months because I ended up on Capitol Hill in the summer of 1996 working for then Congressman Tom Barrett. It was the summer that welfare reform with Wisconsin as the petri dish for the country happened. I'll never forget when the actual hard copies of the bill showed up in Tom's office because it was like, you know, I don't know, that little 70s, how a bill becomes law, never showed you that the bills are thousands and thousands of pages long. And that under the Gingrich House was basically fast-tracked. I don't think anybody had sufficient time to analyze what the bill would actually do. And we know now that as a result, people didn't get any less poor in Wisconsin. They just dropped out. They were not counted, and they fell off of our social services support systems and put an incredible strain on local governments. I mean, Rob, you mentioned how vast DHHS's responsibilities were and how that time was incredibly satisfying and stressful. You know, I look at the way that our social services systems work now and my time at the county, and I feel the same way. Like, boy, we were there for the people that were right on the edge, but it was so stressful and yet so rewarding at the same time. I'll just say this very on a very personal level, Rob, and you knew my and know my dad, who worked in city government for a long time. I really appreciate your service, not just to the state, but your specific service and your commitment and care for the city and county of Milwaukee. It's a special place. It's my hometown, and it is better because of you and the work of the forum and your commitment to good analysis. So thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Maggie. And again, I'm not going anywhere. And more importantly, thank the goodness. Forum's not going anywhere.
Can't wait to have you back on the show, Rob. That's Rob Henkin, president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Next up, are you watching the debate and why? We're going to talk about it here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Back in just a minute. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Debate Thursday. Are you going to watch? I want to know. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Are you watching the debate tonight or listening to it? Why? And I don't mean to imply that you shouldn't be. I just mean, like, I'm curious. Out of raw fascination? Are you looking for legitimate policy discourse? Do you want to see if Donald Trump talks about sharks? Do you have Jane and Greg's bingo card?
I'm gonna see if what I have in my mind matches
what's
the
on their bingo
is.
Card. Because, oh yeah,
like
oh, you just mean how it's
like
gonna go?
How it's gonna go? Like I wonder if I could script it and make it the same or at least the same effectiveness. I'm not going to actually go out and script it, but in my mind, I have.
You know, one of my bingo squares definitely is the word malarkey.
Malarkey is definitely going to happen.
I hope so. Before we get there, give us a call. Let's get some callers lined up. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. What are you looking for in the debate? Or are you just going to skip it and watch the highlight reels? Why do you think we still do debates? It's weird, isn't it? I think it's a little weird.
Yeah,
I don't think they're helpful.
Anything.
No. I mean, like, is Trump going to be less Trumpy? No. Is Joe going to be less Joe? No. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. What are you looking for? We're going to try to stack up the callers. We'll get you all in. You want to text in. We want to hear from you. Are you watching the debate? And if so, what are you looking for? Are you playing a drinking game? Do you have Jane's bingo card? How are you doing it? Are you coming to the Barrymore tonight to see me in three dimensions? Probably making fun of Mike Crute and Dominic Salvia, the devil's advocates, because, listen, somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, I did that. I had a long time doing that. That was a lot of fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, and they loft you some softballs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's their nature. They just, yes. you know, they do mm-hmm. that, but that's fun.
Before we get cooking, I have to finish day 19 of Joe Biden's top 100.
You did leave some things on the table.
I did leave some things on the table. Let's talk gun control briefly. Joe Biden, $750 million for the Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistant Grant Program for states to create and administer red flag laws. Duh. 80% of Americans or some ridiculous proportion think, yes, red flag laws, obviously. Joe Biden closing the boyfriend loophole that adds convicted domestic abusers from former romantic relationships to the national instant crime background check system. Duh. Remind me, Brian, I need to tell people the story of my advocacy for a dear friend of mine who's the victim of domestic abuse and trying to get a restraining order when her former husband was a sheriff's deputy. That was interesting.
I remember that one.
Mm. Joe Biden strengthened the definition of federally licensed firearm dealer to crack down on interstate arms dealers that were able to loophole their way through regulations. Joe Biden strengthened the background check process for gun buyers under 21 by providing FBI funding for the checks and requiring the checks to consult with local law enforcement and state databases. Oh, duh. $250 million for community-based violence prevention initiatives so that community groups preclude law enforcement action by minimizing hostile situations before they become violent. And I don't mean preclude as in like, hey, we don't want the cops here, but if you can stop something from becoming a terrible, violent, no good, very bad situation so that the cops don't have to show up, that's a plus. But I also briefly wanted to talk about what Joe Biden has done for the opioid epidemic. Then we're gonna turn to the howler monkey guano throwing crazy fest that will be the debates. I want to hear from you. Are you watching and why? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Joe Biden on the opioid epidemic. MAGAs will deny this. The cult will deny this. Here is the fact. Over the last 2 years, federal officials have stopped more fentanyl from entering the country than in the 5 years before that. Just let that fact set in. In the last 2 years, the Biden administration has stopped more fentanyl from entering the country than from 2016 through 2021. Joe Biden in 2 years has stopped more fentanyl than Donald Trump did as an entire administration. One more time for the record books. Joe Biden stopped more fentanyl in 2 years from coming into this country than Donald Trump did in his whole gosh darn malarkey-filled administration.
But he said it very bigly.
Bigly. Mm-hmm. Lies bigly equal truth. If you're in the MAGA cult. In 2023, Joe Biden seized enough fentanyl powder and drugs laced with it to kill every single American. Joe Biden wants more harm reduction machines, the kind like the ones that the settlement that I helped negotiate for Milwaukee County is placed throughout the county so that you can get naloxone and Narcan. Duh, let's save some lives. Naloxone prescribers have increased 15-fold since Joe Biden took over. His administration also saw the FDA's approval of the first form of the drug in an OTC over-the-counter form. Hello! And under Joe Biden's state opioid response grant program, over $1.5 billion have been made available to states, tribes, and territories to support victims of overdose and those otherwise struggling with substance abuse disorder. Do you think Joe Biden cares about people struggling with addiction?
I would say so, and I'm going to go ahead and say it might be a little personal.
The man doesn't drink.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
I know, but listen, people joke about that, but
kidding aside. I'm not joking about it. I'm really not.
Kidding aside, I don't think Donald Trump cares one whit about people with addictions. He would call them weak-minded people.
Yep.
He would blame them. Where's your self-control? That's who Donald Trump is. Speaking of Donald Trump, are you watching the debate and why? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Mark from Prairie du Sac, you've been very patient. Are you watching this evening?
Yes. I will be watching there with you guys at the Barrymore. Down from Sauk. Getting back to some of your earlier subjects, it's interesting for the abortion, that these Republicans don't seem to care about the contaminants that babies are, exposed to in utero. They don't want to control that at all. And it struck me that, Trump wants to say, well, tips are no longer taxable income. Well, the fact of the matter is that if I understand it right, bribes are considered taxable income. So maybe Brett Kavanaugh was just giving, shifting a little thing there that, well, if you take a bribe, you can't get us on for tax purpose on these bribes. So all the bribes these guys are going to take are not going to be taxable income anymore.
Oh, thank goodness. Bribe your local government official. They won't be taxed on it. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the president's immunity is immune. He can order up the killing of his political rivals. I'm sure this will all sort out just fine.
I don't have any concerns at all.
No. We good. No problem. Chef Andre, are you watching the debate tonight?
Yes, I am. Absolutely. You better believe it. And I just want to say, Maggie, keep up the good work, and you're doing a damn good fight. I absolutely love your show. And, you're doing a good job, my friend. Keep it up. Okay, and I'll be watching the show. And Donald Trump, run for cover, buddy.
Aw. Thank you so much, Andre. I really appreciate that. Texter from the 608 saying, I'm watching what Bat Guano crazy comments the orange Oompa Loompa makes. Yes, indeed.
I've been prepping some of those. I've been going through my greatest hits. I haven't listened to a lot of them in a while.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Amazing in the worst possible, most frightening, white-knuckled, oh my gosh, what's happening to our country sort of kind of way. Yeah.
I had to beat off Congress.
It didn't edit that.
No. I know what Donald J. Trump's campaign slogan should be. Are you ready? No deep fakes necessary. I just say it out loud. Donald Trump, hashtag, it's not a deep fake.
It can only be my personality, that's all.
Yes, sir, it is, which is horrifyingly terrible. Ask yourself, would you want to spend any time with Donald Trump in a room?
Because I'm cognitively there.
As opposed to not there?
Like you'll go person, woman, man, camera, TV.
I like the heavy.
I actually do have a 5 minutes of only him sniffing. They cut out they took a whole speech he did and cut it down to only the sniffing, and it was
all his. You know what someone should do is edit together like chopsticks of Donald Trump sniff, like all of the different tonal sniffs that Trump does into some sort of musical production.
Like the Trump player.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
It would be freaking awesome. Are you watching the debate? And if so, what are you looking for? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. They're trying the mute button this year, except it's not really a mute button. So like when one candidate starts talking over the other, they're basically going to like muddle the sound of the interrupter. It's not actually a mute button, which is like, why go half mute? Like, there's no such thing as half pregnant. Go full mute. Just mute them. And what's the deal with that? What's the deal with that? Just mute them. I don't understand the noise.
You don't
want
to be rude to them.
Yes, you do. Right? Shut up. Not your turn. Kindergarten rules, folks. Joanne from Madison, are you watching?
You betcha. One of the reasons why I enjoy watching Biden talk in these big forums is that he has such fun doing it. One of the reasons why we listen to you, Maggie, is you have so much fun as you go on the radio and present wonky ideas. there's nothing more pleasurable for Biden than coming on and describing all of these policies, as we saw in the State of the Union address. So watch for that little spark in the eye that he has. He's having fun. He's going out there, and he's going to demolish the orange monster. Sorry about that. Orange monster.
Orange monster until he gets a hold of the green dragon. Then he's some sort of weird turquoise fuchsia. I've digressed. I totally agree with you. Joe Biden loves the wonk. Right? He's been doing this for a long time. He knows so much and so much detail about so many things. If you're listening, if you're a swing voter, you're an independent, aside from my wiseacre cracks about the Oompa Loompa, just watch it to hear who actually knows stuff about stuff.
I have an entire catalog of things that Trump says nobody knows more about blank than me.
Let's listen to that when we come back. I love that.
And I found the breathing thing, too.
We're going to listen to some breathy Trump. And Trump telling us that he's the best and knows the most about the things, about the things, about the stuff. And I'll share a few of the debate rules for you that might be of interest. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. Keep it locked in, folks. And if you want to, join us for the last segment of this debate day Thursday, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Are you watching, and what you watching for? Keep it locked.
People are flushing toilets 10 times, 15 times.
You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
Michigan gave us Motang.
Let's go, Brandon. I agree.
Because we're very high.
My fellow Americans.
For you, though, you can vote this November, and you can, of course, listen to my show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. It's Debate Day Thursday. If you don't have a plan this afternoon, you got two options. Civic Media is going to be hosting the debate live across the network. We're going to have Terry Bell, our news director, and Todd Alba, the host of the Todd Alba Show, giving you pre-debate commentary and thoughts. But if you happen to have a hankering for a drive, or you live in the Madison area, come on down to the Barrymore Theater. I'll be there with the Devil's Advocates, Mike Crute and Dominic Salvia. It's free. You can come hang out. They're going to have Charles Franklin as well, the pollster from Marquette, talking about the poll that just dropped yesterday. Before I tell you about the rules for the debate, I just wanted to share this little tidbit. Trump kind of lost his marbles on Truth Social. I mean, he always loses his marbles on Truth Social. But I thought these missives, these rants, were particularly interesting. Now, remember, the entire MAGA cult tactic is basically to accuse Democrats and Joe Biden of everything that they're actually doing. Like, that's the tactic.
That's been the game.
Yep. I call it the gaslighting of America. Like, I'm for the little guy and I'm fighting for you. No, they're not. It's the billionaire party. They're screwing the little guy. They're not for the middle class. They don't give two whits about you. Don't believe the hype. Joe Biden's corrupt. It's the Biden crime family. No, sir. That is you and your son-in-law, Jared Kushner, taking some, I think it's like $20 million plus dollars from Saudi Arabia's sovereign wealth fund to run a private equity company that he's never run before and has no experience and no business doing.
But they had a sword dance.
They had a sword dance. It was cool. No, it's you extorting Ukraine. It's you requiring the Secret Service to stay in your hotels. You know, you getting rich off the backs of the American public.
No regard for the safety and security of its people or its neighbors, and has no respect for human life.
No, 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 sir. That would be you. Yes, you who loves Vladimir Putin, Viktor Orban, Erdogan. You, Kim Jong-un. I like him. He makes his people stand up and MAGA cult equals gaslighting. Okay? With that in mind, let me share with you some of Donald Trump's Truth Social comments before flying to Atlanta for the debate this evening. Biden is a, quote, threat to democracy.
I'm Satan reincarnated.
I'm rubber, you're glue. Whatever you say bounces off me and sticks to you.
That's how it works.
This is
to make a good rhyme, that's pretty much all you need.
Donald Trump says Biden is a threat to democracy. Quote, Joe Biden is a threat to democracy and a threat to the survival and existence of our country itself. I'm rubber, you're glue. Trump says this, quote, Biden is nightmare for women when it comes to the border and immigration. Forget bodily autonomy.
The exact exchange and nuance of phrase in this ritual is very important.
Is that from A Christmas Story?
Yep. A double dog dare you.
Double dog dare you. Whenever I'm rubber, you're glue. Whatever you say bounces off me, sticks to you. So then Trump said this. So many people like Michael Tyler, communications director for Biden, who spewed lies with very little pushback on Fox. Amazing. Because now he hates Fox. Right?
Uh-huh.
Right? Except right after Tyler was on Fox News, had Trump's deputy communications director, Caroline Sunshine, on. You know, like news programs do. Weird. It is the gaslighting of America. Okay.
Nobody did what I've done.
Yeah, let's take a little listen on. Trump is an expert on everything. Let's just ask him.
There's nobody bigger or better at the military than I am.
Nobody builds walls better than me.
Nobody has better toys than I do.
There's nobody that's done so much for equality as I have.
Nobody's ever had crowds like Trump has had.
Nobody's better to people with disabilities than me.
Nobody's fighting for the veterans like I'm fighting for the veterans.
Nobody's stronger than me.
Nobody knows more about debt than I do.
I know the H-1B. I know the H-2B. Nobody knows it better than me.
Nobody's in the history of this country has ever known so much about infrastructure as Donald Trump.
Nobody knows politicians better than I do.
Nobody knows the system better than me, which is why I alone can fix it.
And nobody even understands it but me. It's called devaluation.
There's nobody that understands the horror of nuclear better than me.
How do you even say that?
All right. The debate tonight kicks off 8 p.m. local time. It's going to run for 90 minutes with two commercial breaks. Now, this is a little different. Didn't used to be that we had commercial breaks. That wasn't a thing. They're taking them. The candidates during the breaks will not be allowed to talk to aides, but they can obviously take a breather, get their feet under them. No live audience. Finally, they will stand at lecterns. No opening statements, but closing statements. 2 minutes for each answer, 1 minute for rebuttals, the automatic muting, which is really just fuzzing out what the guy is saying. And your moderators this evening are going to be Dana Bash and Jake Tapper. And by the way, CNN says it will not be live fact-checking the candidates. Thank God, CNN. I mean, come on. Fact check away, I say. That's going to do it for me. I'll be back tomorrow. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it's always better when we stand together. I'm Maggie Dawn. The Devil's Advocates are next here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I know more about drones than anybody.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.